You're listening to Dual Impressions, where two of our reviewers, James Arnold and Nicholas Ahern, go in on a particular album. This time around, they actually invited me, Calvin Moore, as a special guest on the line to discuss the new album by Beautiful Eulogy called Satellite Kite.
Their debut album. Beautiful Eulogy is comprised of Braille, Odd Thomas, and Cortland Urbano does all of their production. And it's free at humblebeast.com, or you can pick it up on iTunes or order a physical copy from their website. And we're here to review it. We've been listening to it for a little while now. I'm not sure I want to tip my hat just yet, but I've been telling people to get this album for a while. So why don't one of you say something about it? Nick, what did you think?
Dang it, well, I gotta go first.
You don't want to go first? We can skip you.
I mean, you're the prettiest of us, Nick, so why don't you go first?
If you guys can see it, I just turned a bright shade of pink right now. The initial impression I got when listening to this was, it sounds like if hipsters did rap. And honestly, the hipsters kind of pull it off. I mean, it's most minimalistic, quiet down, not a lot going on, but a lot going on kind of production I've ever heard in a rap album, like consistently throughout. It's not like where you'll have bombastic beats 1 minute, you know, Dirty South, but then go into something like, I don't know, like Boy Wonder, where it's kind of like mainstream, got kind of a poppy hook in there. It's just low down, not even necessarily about the beats, but how it creates this kind of odd mood where I don't know if I want to pop open. I don't know. It's just such an odd record. And I almost stole Calvin's joke, so I'll leave that to Calvin. But I was not expecting it. I didn't know what to expect. Like, James was talking and I talked about it a bit. But I had no idea what to expect from this album. And honestly, this is one of the most unique albums I've ever heard. And I'm still not certain if I liked it or not, but I will say it is unique. And that's, I guess, a positive thing for me. Yeah, I guess that's positive.
Yeah, they're definitely. I could imagine them coming out on stage with Pabst Blue Ribbon and pulling out their iPhones at their concerts and taking pictures of the crowd and saying they're going to be on Instagram. So yeah, definitely hipster looking. Sure. As a matter of fact, when we got the album, we got pictures of them. You know, promo pictures, and I was like, they are such hipsters.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. I mean, they've got like suspenders and the plaid shirts and the glasses and the vintage style lens stuff. And yeah, no, it's definitely hipsters.
Yeah, but I guess, I mean, at the same time, they're authentically hip hop. And when I think about hipsters, I don't think about hip hop. So that's kind of interesting. I couldn't see Dr. Dre dressing up like a hipster, but who knows? Who knows? I guess I'll talk about my thoughts, my initial thoughts on the album. You know, I was pretty impressed with it early on. I've had it for a few weeks now, and normally my opinion of an album wanes after time. Like, I'll play a track over and over and over again because I love that track, and then after a while I'm going, okay, now the replay value is not as high. Now it's kind of run out of steam, and what's the next thing coming out? But this one, you know, I've had it for a few weeks now. Again, it just came out tonight, but I've had it for a few weeks. And I've just been really vibing to this sound. I agree with Nick. It's very, I'd use the word low-key. It's a pretty low-key album, but it's easy to vibe to. Normally, when I listen to hip-hop, like, I'll make a playlist, especially for when I go jogging, and it'll normally be something with aggressive, grimy beats to it, so I can just jog down the street. And, you know, I also vibe to that in the car, bounce my head and whatnot. This, I was at work. I was literally, like, doing copies and faxing, you know, orders at work, because my work still has a fax machine. And I found myself basically looking crazy to my employers. I was over by the filing cabinets just bouncing my shoulders, and my head was bobbing, and they're looking at me like, what is going on over there? But it does create this mood where you're just really relaxed and into it, to almost to such a degree that you're so relaxed you almost kind of forget your surroundings. It's that smooth and that clear and that cool. So all while also communicating pretty heady and weighty truth. So I think it's a pretty decent album on the front end.
Yeah, no, I want to second just about everything both of you have said. I think low-key is a good term to describe this album. But it's important to note that that doesn't necessarily mean that it's simple. So it's low-key, and there's sort of a rhythm to it that you just kind of get into. But at the same time, there's so much complexity to a lot of what's done musically on this album that even after a couple weeks of listening to it almost nonstop, I think I've listened to this album more before reviewing it than just about anything else, just in the time. And I'm still finding things that I didn't pick up on, both lyrically and production-wise. So it's already proven that it's got much more of an ability to last than I expected. So yeah, I was thrilled with the release. I'm really excited that it's here. I'm really curious what you guys think the high points are of this album as far as individual tracks. What are your favorite tracks?
I've got a quarter. If I call it heads or tails, all right, ready?
All right.
All right, bling, and all right, yes.
Heads.
And nope, I go first. Dang. I guess my problem was a lot of them started to blend together, and that's actually a compliment because the way, you know, the minimalistic, the low key, it all flows together. Each song builds upon the other, and so it's, at least for me, listening to it all the way through twice, I didn't get any sense of change technically, but the lyrical themes and just the tone and atmosphere grew so much. I literally felt encapsulated in just the album itself. Like, it's such an interesting, evolving album. Like, you don't get that a lot in hip hop, you know? And I guess the one that really stuck out to me, and besides, you know, Surrender, which we'll all talk about, because I think we all dug that song, it's a beast of a track, was I liked, let me see the word, Take It Easy. Track 4.
Yes.
I dug that track was hot. I was like, such a good track. It's one of those albums where each track builds so nicely, but to have high points out of the roller coaster of this album was really nice. Just Take It Easy, then Motive 1-2 was, you know, tight, Satellite Kite. And there really is not, that I remember, a bad song on the album.
The interesting thing for me on that one song, though, Take It Easy, I mean, I love the way it starts off. In a weird, odd way, and this is going to make it seem like I don't know what I'm talking about, so I hesitate to say it. What was it, the song? Anything You Can Do, I Can Do Better. Which hip-hop? Say again?
Man Up, right? Envy?
No. The mainstream artist who did it. Was it Dre? No. Hard Knock Life. I'm sorry. Hard Knock Life, Jay-Z. Okay. Jay-Z. That's what I was thinking. So Hard Knock Life, that the kids sing song type style, kind of was what was going on with this. I mean, obviously completely different. It sounded more like, you know, 50s idyllic America. With the women singing on the chorus line, Take It Easy. But the one thing that I found interesting about it is there's so much weighty truth in this album to begin with. And I'll talk about some of that with Open Letter and Covet for sure. But the music is so good at lulling you into a relaxed state that it's sometimes easy to miss the weighty truth being communicated. Like, I mean, Take It Easy is about, you know, love and true love and, you know, trying to tell the difference between the two, at least once I sat down and listened to the lyrics. But I was so relaxed by the beat that I didn't, you know, that I didn't really catch the message at first. I was so relaxed, which is, you know, very different than the normal state of hip-hop. Normal state of hip-hop, it's like, it's so aggressive and so grimy and so bombastic and in your face that you miss the fact that, you know, a song is talking about, you know, like, killing people and raping and murdering and, you know, being all about money. I mean, and talking about standard fare mainstream hip-hop. So you can miss that because of the aggressiveness of a track. Because this was so relaxed, I felt like I missed the weightiness of the truth they were trying to communicate. on that particular track. So I found that pretty interesting.
Yeah, and that's one of the, I think that's one of the strengths we were talking about a little bit ago about how this album so far has had staying power with us, even mm-hmm. after a couple of weeks of listening, is that because you get lulled in, you've still got more to learn. You've still got more to pick up on as you listen again.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, right. One thing I found really cool, and this will be the only other track that, I mean, I'll talk about a couple tracks if you give me time, but An Open Letter. The lyrics, I had to type them up. They were so amazing to me. Where in the first track,
will you wrap them?
No, I will not wrap them for you. I really like one. I like Odd Thomas's talk through style. It's kind of beat poetry, slam poetry style of doing things. So in a sense, he's rapping. In another sense, he's just kind of talking. But he says, this is a little bit love letter and a little bit of incentive, signed, sealed, and delivered from its sender with a PS of encouragement, depending on whether you receive it in the medium for which it was intended. Dear whoever has ears to hear, listen, and pay attention, we write to make mention of the gospel and the resurrection exists with the tension of trying to creatively display creation, fall, and redemption, contextualized inside the text that's divinely inspired. Maybe music isn't the best medium for making much of the Messiah. I remember when I first heard that a couple weeks ago, I was just like, whoa. Like, my mind just exploded. I mean, there's so much in that first little, you know, in that first little chunk of the song, of the track, there's so much there. I mean, he's talking about, you know, here's the purpose of why we're doing this. You know, we want to talk about creation, fall, and redemption. Those are weighty theological, you know, paradigms. Talks about, you know, he uses words like contextualize. And then he talks about, you know, maybe music isn't the best medium for making much of the Messiah, which I think is an ongoing raging debate as to the viability of Christian hip-hop. And these are people within Christian hip-hop talking about, is this the best medium? What are hip-hop artists? Are they ministers? Are they just music artists? You know, what does that mean? What are they doing? How sound theologically do they have to be when it's music? That kind of thing is pretty cool. So I think he touches on that. They touch on that with this first track. And there's enough to chew on in that first song and not have to listen to any of the rest of the album. And I'd be satisfied.
Yeah, and he goes on immediately to say, even though I'm not sure that this is, you know, the best medium to do this, he goes on to say that for the three of them, this is the best they've got to offer.
Yeah.
For where they feel they're gifted and where they feel they can do that, even if they're not entirely convinced that this is the best way to do this.
Yes.
Which I really like. I feel like that's a much, to use a word that they've kind of taken and made their own. I feel like it's a really humble way to go about making music.
I see what you did there. I see.
Yeah, so I mean, I really like that as an opening track too, just to set the stage for the rest of the album.
Yeah.
Because I can remember, that's actually one of my favorite tracks on the entire thing, because it really lets you see what they're doing. Any other track pulled out of context, and if you haven't heard An Open Letter, I feel like you're not going to be able to see what exactly they're doing, and that would just be a shame.
Right.
So I think Nick was right earlier when he said the tracks build on each other, and there's a reason that they're put in the order that they are. I thought it was really interesting that they start off with Open Letter after a musical introduction, deal with Coven and Take It Easy, and then after dealing with the tracks where they're talking about struggles, then they get to the reason that their album is called what it is, and then they get to the conviction, and they get to struggling to deal with the string that ties us from the sermon clip that they pull.
Yeah, and that's absolutely, I love the fact that there are movements of the album. And for those, I mean, we were kind of wondering earlier, we were talking back and forth as to who the pastor was. I thought it was John Piper. Apparently it's Art Azurdia. He's the pastor of Trinity Church of Portland, Oregon. This is actually their, I want to say he's actually their pastor. Braille contacted me on Twitter tonight to let me know who it was. So that was me name dropping and also clarifying who the pastor was.
Name dropping.
Name dropper.
Yeah, so this was a great album. So let's see, Nick talked about his favorite song. Calvin, did you have another song or two you wanted to talk about?
I loved Covet. I loved the beat on that. It was just almost like walking through a dreamscape. Very strong message, and I love how it muddied the waters about coveting, because it talks about, I mean, the song talks about those who are rich who kind of reach for more and don't give a second thought to the poor. And then he also talks, he turns it on its head, and he talks about the poor who covet what the rich have, so they just justify taking it. I really thought that was not just clever, I mean, it has clever wordplay for sure, but it was very, very thoughtful. I mean, it's very easy to point the finger at people who are rich, who are just coveting more things that they don't need. It was very cool to turn that back on the poor, especially when you're in hip-hop, you're dealing a lot with the urban poor. You know, the poor who justify coveting after what rich people have and just taking it. Almost kind of, I don't want to get political here, but almost like reallocating funds from those who are rich and who have earned what they've gotten. And, you know, giving that to people who have not. I have no position on that. I'm still thinking through those kinds of things, but I think it was kind of getting at that a little bit, which was kind of interesting to me. It was political without being political, I think.
Yeah, it was something that might inform your politics, even if it wasn't politics directly.
Yeah. But my favorite thing on the whole album, believe it or not, wasn't music. It was that track with Artaxerxes, kind of informing us why it's called Satellite Kite. Obviously, yeah, I loved it. You know, I mean, as a guy who's studying to be a pastor, I love great illustrations. And that one was a powerful one. I remember stopping the album and sitting and contemplating what he said about a kite wanting to free itself from the string, but we know what happens when that happens. You free it from the string and it crashes into the ground never to fly again. I really, really liked that illustration. It was so powerful and just kind of hit me right between the eyes. Maybe I needed to hear it when I did, but yeah, that was my favorite track on the whole album, and there was no hip-hop other than the beat behind it.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was a great illustration. I remember listening to it and just thinking, I felt like I had to rethink the first three or four tracks from the album in light of hearing that.
Yeah, absolutely.
What the whole album is called is based on the title of it and the concept, so I suddenly felt like I needed to go back and re-listen to it. I didn't, because I wanted to hear the rest of it, but yeah, so as far as my favorite tracks go, I really love Open Letter, which we've talked about. I really love Take It Easy, and I really love Motive 1-2. That track took me three or four listens before I felt like I knew what they were talking about, because it's kind of the odd track out as far as sound. It's very upbeat, very very forward, as opposed to the rest of the album that kind of lulls you back. And they're, on first listen, you kind of think it's just, you know, this fun, like, play this when I'm hanging out with my friends. There's all this language of friendship being thrown around, talking about how you can text people and all this. And it's just kind of, like, goofy fun at first. But upon repeated listens, you kind of get the feel of, like, no, this is about what makes friendship, what makes, it's all about what makes friendship and what doesn't make friendship, how you should get to know people, how you should, you know, be concerned about them. He talks about his label mates calling him out when he does stupid things.
Yeah.
And being able to do that in love. But also how disconnected that is from, you know, the person that you met at a concert once that you want to talk about hip-hop with, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just really like that track because it stands out so much, but it's also just really well done.
Yeah.
And then Anchor. I can't get out of this review without talking about Anchor. Anchor might be my favorite track on the album. I don't know if it just hit me at a time when I really needed to hear that song, but that song is just heavy, talking about how to deal with struggles and how to deal with loss and pain, and it's just very well done. I'm still thinking through Braille's verse on that. Some of the language he uses of blood drawing in sharks, but also protecting us. Like, there's just so much good stuff going on there.
I think my personal gripe with the album, though, since we haven't really talked about that too much, and this is a personal thing. This isn't even really a flaw of the album, because you'll hear it when I give my rating. Just the fact that, you know, my introduction to this group, I mean, you know, we've been introduced to them solo, but now they're coming together as a group. Introduction to them was King Culture on the King Culture CD put out by Rapzilla. And then they did a track called Entitlement. Misconception, yeah, on Church Clothes, right? Which was, again, my favorite track on that whole album, and just kind of went to show that there's great production within the Christian world. The big selling point for Lecrae's Church Clothes was that it was co-signed by a lot of people in hip-hop mainstream, but my favorite track on that album was by Beautiful Eulogy, which was interesting. But those two tracks were arguably, you know, pretty high energy, in your face, and there's only one track like that on this entire album, and that track is Surrender. Everything else is low key, and that's fine. I mean, I love the album. I absolutely adore this album. I just think that they presented themselves in such a way that you were kind of, you know, chomping at the bit for more of what they provided us with. Like, they showed how good they are at doing it. They can definitely do that. And now they've shown they're good at doing low-key stuff, too. But they only did one track on the album that reminded me anything of King Culture, which was my introduction to them and made me instantly fall in love with them. So that's just kind of a personal gripe. I would have liked to have seen more kind of in-your-face songs musically. I mean, it's all in your face, you know, when you take the lyrics into consideration. But that was just kind of surprising for me.
Yeah, I guess if you had been following their music through King Culture and then through Lecrae's release, this would not be what you're expecting.
Yeah.
Huh, that's interesting.
Nick?
Still there?
Oh, I'm still here. Yeah, I think I... Yeah, everything Calvin said, yeah, I think I agree with him. Like, that's kind of the annoying thing. It's like, yeah, I remember Misconception. That was I'm trying to think of a really nice word to use. That was an awesome, big, cool track. And there was not... Interesting, there was not a lot of that on here. Like, thinking about it now, there's not a lot of really aggressive, like you said, musically in-your-face material that... So I totally forgot they did Misconception off Church Clothes.
Yeah.
So that is odd to think about in hindsight, at least. That, yeah, I think I agree with Colin. That is a personal kind of bit of disappointment that doesn't reflect the quality of the album.
Right.
And in and of itself, it's more like, wow, they showed they can do, you know, insane, intense, like Tech N9ne kind of stuff. You know, like, you're not ashamed to go there. And with this album, you're not expecting this album. So it's on one hand, it is unique. It's a slap of uniqueness. But you almost wonder if there's not enough of the what they've shown that they can do. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's not a critique for me. It's more just kind of, you put down a perfect cup of coffee that you think is perfect in my hand, I drink it, and I think of ways to improve it, but that still doesn't mean the cup of coffee is not perfect in some form. There we go. If that makes any sort of sense.
We'll pretend it does.
Yeah, I'm right. Like, what the heck did you just say?
As his co-host, I'm just going to affirm it and move on.
That's what you do. We compliment each other like that.
Yeah, so we're probably starting to push our limit as far as time goes, but I guess with Calvin with us, we can break whatever rules we want.
We can't be fired for this, James. Don't worry about it. We're not going to be fired.
I can be fired for anything.
Don't worry. I'm cutting both of you completely out of this conversation. It'll just be me talking about the album.
Are you going to, like, repeat our best parts?
I'm going to repeat all your best parts.
So you're going to repeat everything Nick said, except the coffee thing.
Correct, because that made no sense.
So briefly, any low point for either of you, and then we're gonna do our wrap up.
I said my low points just now.
That's I said mine. Why don't we just wrap up? I think it'd be good to wrap up.
Alright, who wants to go? Nick, you want to flip?
No, I got a coin. Alright, you ready, Calvin?
Yes. Nick, you're going first.
Dang it, I am. Okay. It's one of those albums I regret not listening to it as much as James and Calvin did. I've only listened to it 2 times all the way through, but in the 2 times I listened to it, it's a unique, it's thought-provoking lyrically, musically. It's down, it's low-key, it's minimalistic, and it doesn't detract from the lyrics. It has some really unique ways of bringing out theology and orthopraxy and just all this different stuff. That's just, it's so interesting just to listen to it. And I concur with Calvin, the idea or the track that doesn't even involve hip hop. That track completely slipped my mind, where it doesn't even talk about hip hop, or it's not even about hip hop. And it's each track builds so well on the other, but you could just pop out each track and listen to it and still gain something from it. And so there's a lot of value in this album. Technically, it's not my kind of album. I tend to like, you know, more aggressive, like Dre style stuff and Eminem. But for what it is, you know, hipster rap, it's really a lot better than anything it really should have been in my own head. So for me, I think it comes out to a 3.5 out of 5. And I can't think of any low point on the album. So, yeah.
Alright, Calvin, you're up.
Okay, my review is going to be a little bit higher than yours. I'm going to give this a 5 out of 5. I'm there. You guys know that that's hard for me to give out. But I love the underground sound. It's a great mixture of artists. And it's a great mixture of artists in a time when a lot of artists are doing the whole team-up thing. But this seems so much more natural and organic. That's not a slight against every other artist who's doing the team-up thing right now. But this just feels right to me. There's a lot of creative and clever wordplay. And again, the great sampling of their pastor, Art Azurdia, on The String That Ties Us. Love that. Just great progression, like James has already pointed out, throughout the album. It's a near-perfect album. This is the album, in my opinion, to beat this year in Christian hip-hop, for sure.
All right. We've got a 3.5 out of 5. All right. This is Beautiful Eulogy, Satellite Kite. I've been looking forward to this release pretty much since I heard about it, partially from watching them build as these other guys did, and through King Culture and then through Church Clothes. But also just being a fan of them as individual artists, I was really excited to see what they were going to do. It wasn't exactly what I expected, but I can't imagine it being any other way. I think if they had tried to throw on a track or two that were more comparable to what we're familiar with, it would have actually detracted from this album, just because of the cohesive feel of it. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 5 as well. I really, really think this is an excellent album. It's going to be tough to beat. We'll see. There's a couple of really high-profile releases coming this year that I'm looking forward to, but this one's going to be tough. So that gives it an average of 4.5 out of 5 for Dual Impressions.
All right, and Matt Gerles gave it a 5 out of 5 in our written, so if we took that into consideration, that's...
Even higher.
Yes, it's even higher, I think. I'm not good at math, so it could have lowered it. I don't know.
I'm not either, but I'm gonna say that, and we're gonna pretend like it's true, just like Nick's analogy.
All right.
Thank you, everyone, for Dual Impressions. My name is James Arnold. I've got Nick Ahern with me. Say hello, Nick.
Hello, Nick.
And I've also got Calvin Moore. Thanks for joining us, Calvin.
Hey, no problem. Always a pleasure, guys. Love hopping on the line with you guys.
All right, this has been Dual Impressions. This has been Satellite Kite by Beautiful Eulogy. Pick it up at humblebeast.com.